This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for tuning in today. At the beginning of this show on a Friday, normally we kind of set the table, ask a question about the poll, and we kind of ease into our weekend, and that starts now. Except for today. We just witnessed, in the Oval Office, we just witnessed a situation where Donald Trump is potentially trying to avoid World War III, and we got to see negotiations with the president of Ukraine out in front of us right now. I've never seen anything like this before. I'm sure that these types of discussions happen to this extent. This might have even been the PG-13 version of what would have happened behind closed doors, but it was absolutely wild, and we feel like it's our responsibility to share it with you today so that you can take it in yourself. If you haven't heard this yet, Donald Trump welcoming Zelensky to the White House, and there was supposed to be a signature that was kind of the culmination of the... I'm thinking about doing this lately. I just want to do when you're sitting down to watch the news at night, just a daily bingo card. And we can switch out terms as we go, because right now I really want to add rare earth to the bingo card.
Yeah. Trump just refers to the entire deal as we're going to do rare earth.
Have you heard the term rare earth? I'm not suggesting that the term didn't exist, but it didn't exist in normal people land.
I would say it's become increasingly a phrase in the last 5-10 years just because of the phones and stuff.
Well, rare earth, I'd put it on the bingo card. That was a big part of what the United States was going to get out of this deal with Ukraine. We've made quite an investment in trying to keep Ukraine in the fight against Vladimir Putin and Russia. And this deal was supposed to give some stability to the region, to get the United States some of their investment back and stop the killing. Probably in reverse order, as I just listed there. So Zelensky comes to the United States. He's coming to Washington. He's sitting down with the president of the United States, with the vice president of the United States, to the president's left and Zelensky to the president's right. And they're sitting in there having this conversation. And there's no really way to do it, to explain it to you, other than to just let you listen for yourself how this unfolded.
Well, if I didn't align myself with both of them, you'd never have a deal. You want me to say really terrible things about Putin and then say, hi, Vladimir, how are we doing on the deal? That doesn't work that way. I'm not aligned with Putin. I'm not aligned with anybody. I'm aligned with the United States of America and for the good of the world. I'm aligned with the world, and I want to get this thing over with. You see the hatred he's got for Putin. It's very tough for me to make a deal with that kind of hate. He's got tremendous hatred, and I understand that, but I can tell you the other side is exactly in love with, you know, him either. So it's not a question of alignment. I'm aligned with the world. I want to get the thing set. I'm aligned with Europe. I want to see if we can get this thing done. You want me to be tough? I could be tougher than any human being you've ever seen. I'd be so tough. But you're never going to get a deal that way. So that's the way it goes. All right, one more question.
I want to respond to this. So look, for 4 years in the United States of America, we had a president who stood up at press conferences and talked tough about Vladimir Putin, and then Putin invaded Ukraine and destroyed a significant chunk of the country. The path to peace and the path to prosperity is maybe engaging in diplomacy. We tried the pathway of Joe Biden of thumping our chest and pretending that the president of the United States' words mattered more than the president of the United States' actions. What makes America a good country is America engaging in diplomacy. That's what President Trump is doing.
Can I ask you?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So he occupied our parts, big parts of Ukraine, part of East and Crimea. So he occupied it on 2014. So during a lot of years, so I'm not speaking about just Biden, but those time was Obama, then President Obama, then President Trump, then President Biden, now President Trump, and God bless, now President Trump will stop him. But during 2014, nobody stopped him. He just occupied and took. He killed people. You know what the contact line?
2015.
2014.
2014.
Yeah, yeah. So
I was not here.
Yeah, but
that's exactly right.
Yes, but during 2014 till 2022, yeah, the same. Well, the situation the same? The people have been dying on the contact line. Nobody stopped him. You know that we had conversations with him, a lot of conversation, my bilateral conversation, and we signed with him. Me, like a new president in 2019, I signed with him the deal. I signed with him, Macron and Merkel, we signed ceasefire. Ceasefire, all of them told me that he will never go. We signed him with gas contract. Yes, but after that, he broken this ceasefire. He killed our people and he didn't exchange prisoners. We signed the exchange of prisoners, but he didn't do it. What kind of diplomacy, JD, you are speaking about? What do you mean?
I'm talking about the kind of diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but if you
Mr. President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come into the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media. Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems. You should be thanking the president for trying to bring it into this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine that you say what problems we have?
I have been to...
Come once.
I've actually watched and seen the stories, and I know what happens is you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr. President. Do you disagree that you've had problems bringing people into your military?
We have problems.
And do you think that it's respectful to come to the Oval Office of the United States of America and attack the administration that is trying to prevent the destruction of your country?
A lot of questions. Let's start from the beginning.
Sure.
First of all, during the war, everybody has problems, even you, but you have nice ocean and don't feel now, but you will feel it in the future.
God bless you, you will not have a war. Don't tell us what we're going to feel. We're trying to solve a problem. Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
I'm not telling you.
Because
I'm
you're in no position to dictate that.
That's
remember
exactly
this.
What
you're
doing.
You're in no position to dictate what we're going to feel. We're going to feel very good.
You will feel influence.
We're going to feel very good and very strong.
You will feel influence.
You're right now not in a very good position. You've allowed yourself to be in a very bad position, and it happens to be right about it.
From the very beginning of the war,
you're not in a good position. You don't have the cards right now. With us, you start having
cards.
Right now, you don't have cards.
I'm very serious, Mr. President.
You're playing cards. You're gambling with the lives of millions of people. You're gambling with World War III. You're gambling with World War III. And what you're doing is very disrespectful to the country, this country, that's backed
you
far more than a lot of people said they should have.
Have you said thank you once? This entire meeting? No, in this entire meeting, have you said thank you?
Even today.
You went to Pennsylvania and campaigned for the opposition in October. Offer some words of appreciation for the United States of America and the president who's trying to save your country.
Please, you think that if you will speak very loudly about the war,
He's not speaking loudly. Your country is in big trouble.
Wait a minute.
A lot of talking. Your country is in big trouble.
I know.
You're not winning. You're not winning this. You have a damn good chance of coming out okay because of us.
Mr. President, we are staying in our country, staying strong from the very beginning of the war. We've been alone, and we are thankful. I said thanks
in
this cabinet.
You haven't been alone. We gave you, through this stupid president, $350 billion.
You voted for your
president. We gave you military equipment, and
your
men are brave, but they had to use our military. If you didn't have our military equipment, this war would have been over in 2 weeks.
In three days, I heard it from Putin. In 3 days. This is something
maybe less.
In 2 weeks, of course, yes.
It's going to be a very hard thing to do business like this.
Again,
I tell you.
Just say thank you.
Except
that there are disagreements, and let's go litigate those disagreements rather than trying to fight it out in the American media when you're wrong. We know that you're wrong.
But you see, I think it's good for the American people to see what's going on.
I understand, sir.
I think it's very important. That's why I kept this going so long. You have to be thankful. You don't have the cards.
I'm thankful.
You're buried there. Your people are dying.
I can tell you.
You're running low on soldiers. You're running low on soldiers. It would be a damn good thing. And then you tell us, I don't want a ceasefire. I want to go, and I want this. Look. If you could get a ceasefire right now, I tell you, you'd take it so the bullets stop flying and your men stop getting killed.
Of course we want to stop the war. But
you're saying you don't want a ceasefire.
But I said to you,
I want a ceasefire.
With guarantees.
Because you'll get a ceasefire faster than an agreement.
Ask our people about ceasefire, what they think.
That wasn't
it doesn't
with
matter
me.
For you what
that wasn't
what
with me.
It
that was with a guy named Biden who was not a smart person.
It was your president.
Excuse me. That was with Obama, who gave you sheets, and I gave you javelins.
Yes.
I gave you the javelins to take out all those tanks. Obama gave you sheets. In fact, the statement is Obama gave sheets and Trump gave javelins. You got to be more thankful, because let me tell you, you don't have the cards. With us, you have the cards. But without us, you don't have any cards.
One more question to Mr. Vice President. I'm sorry.
It's going to be a tough deal to make because the attitudes have to change.
What if Russia breaks ceasefire? What if Russia breaks peace talks? What do you do then? I understand that it's a heated conversation right now.
What are you saying?
She's asking, what if Russia breaks the ceasefire?
What if anything? What if a bomb drops on your head right now? Okay? What if they broke it? I don't know. They broke it with Biden because Biden, they didn't respect him. They didn't respect Obama. They respect me. Let me tell you, Putin went through a hell of a lot with me. He went through a phony witch hunt where they used him and Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. You ever hear of that deal? That was a phony Hunter Biden, Joe Biden scam. Hillary Clinton, Shifty Adam Schiff. It was a Democrat scam. And he had to go through that. And he did go through it. We didn't end up in a war. And he went through it. He was accused of all that stuff. He had nothing to do with it. It came out of Hunter Biden's bathroom. It came out of Hunter Biden's bedroom. It was disgusting. And then they said, the laptop from hell was made by Russia, the 51 agents. The whole thing was a scam. And he had to put up with that. He was being accused of all that stuff. All I can say is this. He might have broken deals with Obama and Bush, and he might have broken them with Biden. He did, maybe. Maybe he didn't. I don't know what happened. But he didn't break them with me. He wants to make a deal. I don't know if he can make a deal. The problem is, I've empowered you to be a tough guy. And I don't think you'd be a tough guy without the United States. And your people are very brave. But you're either going to make a deal or we're out. And if we're out, you'll fight it out. I don't think it's going to be pretty, but you'll fight it out. But you don't have the cards. But once we sign that deal, you're in a much better position. But you're not acting at all thankful. And that's not a nice thing. I'll be honest, that's not a nice thing. All right, I think we've seen enough. What do you think? This is going to be great television.
We've seen enough, he says. Wow, there's no way that I can, as a broadcaster, sum up for you what took place. That's in the Oval Office. Zelensky has just arrived to sit down to what we've been hearing, of course, from our side of the American media, is that Zelensky was coming to sign the deal, the rare earth deal that was going to put us in a position to help end this war between Russia and Ukraine. And Zelensky didn't position himself so much like that's why he was there. And Vice President Vance and President Trump took a little bit of an issue to it and then decided to take care of that issue by taking Zelensky out to the woodshed in front of everybody, in front of the world, not just you, not just me, not just the press, not just the cameras that were in there, in front of the world. What happens next in the closed door meetings where they've got to figure out how to walk out of that room and somebody's getting what they want and somebody isn't getting what they want? Who's it going to be? You can't have both of these individuals walk out of this room and walk out after that type of a conversation without some concessions being made. Something's going to have to give. And honestly, if I'm looking at it from the United States perspective, it is easy to walk away from this. We've invested, what, $350 billion or something like that? It's the number off
depends,
the top of my head.
Yeah, there's different estimates, but it's around $200 at minimum.
Lots of dough. Lots of dough has gone there while Americans sit by and watch their tax dollars get shipped out. I was saying off the air, American diplomat Theo Von just posted 12 minutes ago, tell that guy to give us our tax dollars back in GTFO here. You can figure that one out. Disrespectful guy using our money and using his own people. Donald Trump is not playing a game here. He wants the war to end. He wants to benefit the United States of America, even in spite of what Joe Biden tried to do with our tax dollars. And now we wait and see what happens next. Jim Carafano, as I understand it, is on the Mark Cox Morning Show on Friday mornings. There was a conversation there. I wonder what Jim Carafano thinks about what just took place here. And we thought, well, let's knock on his door and see if he'd take our phone call. And he did. He'll be with us to break down what we just heard unfold in the Oval Office when we come back. Jim Carafano next on The Annie Fry Show.
You're the magician's assistant in their dream.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't have the cards right now. With us, you start having
cards.
Right now, you don't have
cards.
You're playing
cards.
You're gambling with the lives of millions of people. You're gambling with World War III. You're gambling with World War III. And what you're doing is very disrespectful to the country, this country, that's backed you far more than a lot of people said they should have.
Have you said thank you once this entire meeting? No, in this entire meeting, have you said thank you?
Even today.
You went to Pennsylvania and campaigned for the opposition in October. Offer some words of appreciation for the United States of America and the president who's trying to save your country.
Please, you think that... If you will speak very loudly about the war,
he's not speaking loudly. He's not speaking loudly. Your country's in big trouble.
Can I
wait a minute? No. You've done a lot of talking.
So Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, and Zelensky walk into the Oval Office. What happens next? We just played the entire clip of that exchange in our first segment here. And while this was happening, I said to Brad, I'm like, do you think we could ask Jim Carafano to come on the show? Because that's the A1 guest that we want to have to react to this. And what did you know? Jim Carafano said yes. He's with us right now, senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. Jim Carafano, we thank you for your time on a Friday afternoon. What did you think about what just went down in the Oval Office?
It'll all be fine. I think it's healthy. I mean, the fact that allies can get in a room and rough it up with each other, I think that's actually a good thing. They're just being honest, and I think that actually helps the relationship.
I don't feel
and
like...
In the end, but I mean, in the end, look, Donald Trump is not doing this because he likes Zelensky or because he hates Zelensky. He's doing what is going to be in the best interest of the United States. And the president's really made abundantly clear that he's not leaving NATO and he's not abandoning Ukraine to the Russians. So everything else is just, you know, interesting, you know, table chatter, but it's not really relevant in the world of geopolitics. Hmm.
Do you feel like this conversation was, do you think that was a surprise for President Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance that it took that turn?
I don't know. I mean, these are all three very strong personalities who are very committed to their people and fighting for the people's interests. And none of them are shrinking violets. So I don't know, but I'm not surprised.
So when Zelensky is coming to town, and what we've been hearing leading up to this meeting is that he was going to sign some papers that they were going to get that rare earth deal done. America was going to get some of their financial interest back in a way that benefits America, but also in a way that helps push us to a resolution, some peace between these two countries. Do you feel as though that likelihood of that deal being completed today is in peril in any way?
I don't. I'm not there at the meeting, but again, what's driving the U.S.-Ukraine relationship in the end is what's in the best mutual interest of both countries, and I think that'll play out in the end. I mean, that's consistently what we've seen.
The average American doesn't get to see a conversation between two very prominent world leaders the way we were able to see today. We don't get to see those discussions. Is what was taking place there... Is that pretty standard as far as these negotiations take place? Does the presence of the press change the way some of this is delivered?
Well, it's standard practice for Donald Trump. I mean, you know, if he doesn't like a and to me, if I was a world leader, I mean, this would be the gift that gets keep on giving. Anybody can say nice platitudes and everything else, but somebody that's just honest with you, I think that's a real gift. I think I have great respect for both these national leaders, and I think they're going to do what's in the interest of both their countries, and I think that will serve Americans well.
We're speaking with Jim Carafano, a foreign policy expert, of course, with the Heritage Foundation. One of the things that Donald Trump said in the Oval Office before the exchange kind of got a little hot there was, you know, he said something to the effect of, I'm here. I'm having this conversation with Zelensky, but I can't sit down here and talk, you know, smack essentially on Vladimir Putin. If after this, I'm going to go to Vladimir Putin and say to Putin, we need to get a deal. It's not how deals are done. What are your thoughts on the way Donald Trump is addressing the Russia / Putin contingent of getting peace restored in this area?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about, you know, Trump in this negotiation, you know, we told Zelensky, he says, you don't have any cards to play. You know, essentially, that's true, right? Zelensky's at the point of strategic exhaustion. He's heavily dependent upon Western aid. And the card that he has to play is one card, which is it's in America's interest that Russia not control Ukraine. It's the only card he has. It's a good card, though. And that's why I think, regardless of you know, how much they yell at each other, that in the end, that's going to play out. Putin has no cards to play at all. I mean, he has nothing to offer the United States that the United States needs. In fact, the U.S. is better off with an isolated, defeated Russia. But all that said, how you know, the president has yelled at people and then turned right around and been nice to him, and he's been nice to him and turned right around and yelled at him. That's all irrelevant to what actually plays out. And so the problem I've had with all this is kind of critique of Trump is it's like people watching the first pitch of a ball game and then tell you what the final score is going to be. That's not the way these things work. Now, who knows what Trump does with Putin behind closed doors? And again, Putin doesn't care if you yell at him. He also doesn't care if you're nice to him. In the end, he cares, like, what do I get out of this thing? And I think Putin's in a very weak position. You know, people forget. You know, the one thing, excuse me, people forget the one thing that Zelensky and Donald Trump have in common. They both killed Russians. When Russian mercenaries attacked the U.S. in Syria, Trump bombed the hell out of them.
Yeah.
He didn't call Putin. He didn't say night. He just bombed the hell out of him. And they never talked about it again, but Putin got the message. Those are the kind of things that Putin respects.
Before we let you go, we're speaking with Jim Carafano right now with the Heritage Foundation. Of course, this has all happened within the last hour. Donald Trump has posted on his Truth Social account. I'm going to, if you don't mind, read his statement that he has just released. Carolyn Leavitt has reposted it on X as well from her official at PressSec X account. A statement from President Donald J. Trump. Quote, we had a very meaningful meeting in the White House today. Much was learned that could never be understood without conversation under such fire and pressure. It's amazing what comes out through emotion. And I have determined that President Zelensky is not ready for peace if America is involved, because he feels our involvement gives him a big advantage in negotiations. I don't want advantage. I want peace. He disrespected the United States of America in its cherished Oval Office. He can come back when he is ready for peace. Donald Trump, that's the end of the statement there. I mean, Donald Trump seems pretty resolved that peace is his first goal here, and he seems to not be messing around. Any thoughts on the president's statement?
Yeah, I think the president will get, you know, he's the guy that has the cards, and he's driving the train. And I think that's what will happen. I think we'll get a ceasefire, and I think it'll be in the best interest of everybody.
Do you think Zelensky made a mistake today in the way he handled that?
You know, it's like asking for, you know, when you say, shouldn't that people have acted differently? You know, it's the same thing about Donald Trump. Like, could we get a different Donald Trump? You know, the answer is you get what you get. I mean, Zelensky's a fiery, emotional leader as well. So,
yeah,
he's a big guy. He's got to look out for his country. He'll figure it out.
Jim Carafano, a pleasure to have you on the show with us on a Friday afternoon. We knew you were sick on Tuesday, and we hope for you to get well very quickly. Thanks for the time today.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Jim Carafano, the senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson fellow for international engagement at the Heritage Foundation. Donald Trump said, in the words of Molly Fry, twos.
Peace.
Wow. What a turn of events.
Yeah, this statement that he put out that you just read is important, because that's what I took away from hearing that whole thing, was that Trump was getting frustrated because early on it seemed as if both Trump and Vance realized, oh, Zelensky is here to do a media tour. He is not really here to negotiate. And that's what that statement seems to suggest, is that we're not going to sit here and play these games. We want to do a deal, or don't come around here.
Conspiracy, any?
Yeah, let's hear it. Come on.
I should have a hat that I wear so that out. when I do these things and it gets repurposed, that everybody can see the content that I was not being serious, Andy.
Well, the problem is, though, that later opposition research will just look for you in that hat.
I've been asked. Yeah, exactly. I just think that one through. Find the one where she's wearing the fedora. Right. I've been told before, I've been asked for a variety of different reasons to run for office over the course of time. And I've been told by all of them, you're going to be a nightmare to vet. And I'm like, I talk for 15 hours a week. I guarantee you I've said things that A, are stupid, and B, can be taken out of context.
Yeah, but you're overwhelming them.
Yes. They're like, it's a double-edged sword. And I'm like, let me at them. I stand by anything that I said, and I'll clarify or comment or apologize at anything I need to. Anywho. Conspiracy theory, any?
Yeah, let's bring it.
I think that there's been so much corruption that America has partnered with Ukraine.
Oh, bring it. Come on.
I just don't know that I feel like there is probably a great amount of loss that will take place behind the scenes. Because in order for the United States to enter in, and I don't have the specifics of the rare earth deal that was going to be made, but wasn't part of it that we're not going to send troops over there, but we are going to send American workers over there to cultivate this rare earth. And you got American citizens over there. This is what I keep hearing. Nobody wants to be firing upon American workers. That if you have American workers over there, as opposed to people who are there to fight, to defend, to protect, it is an American presence that creates stability. Because you will be poking the great bear if you do something that hurts those American workers who are in that area. That American presence in and of itself offers security, but what we're doing over there is enriching the United States of America through rare earth. I would assume that Donald Trump, do you guys remember the perfect phone call? I mean, this is all so connected. Donald Trump's first impeachment was a phone call that took place between Donald Trump and Vladimir Zelensky. Do you know what that phone call was about? Zelensky wanted weapons and defense systems to protect his country. From whom? Russia. Zelensky wanted to protect Ukraine from the threat that existed at the time from Russia. Russia had not done what they did during the Biden administration when Donald Trump was there. Adam Schiff decided to pursue the phone call that took place between Zelensky and Trump and contort the entire thing into a political animal that he could pin on Donald Trump. Why? Because they needed Donald Trump to go away so bad. We said this earlier in the week. Why is Donald Trump such a threat to these people? What about Donald Trump? I get it. You hate his policies, but you've hated all the Republican policies forever. There are some Republicans that you wrap your arms with and take them to bed with you. The Liz Cheney's of the world, the Adam Kins. Why are they okay? They vote. Their voting record, Liz Cheney's voting record, is probably more conservative than some of the policies that Donald Trump has put out. They are conservatives. But why does Liz Cheney become part of the approved group of Republicans? I have questions, natural questions. That perfect phone call that Adam Schiff led an impeachment, which was successfully executed in the House and not in the Senate, of course, was suggesting the thing that Donald Trump did bad. And I guarantee you, more than 9 out of 10 people that you would ask on the street could not tell you why he was impeached the first time. They don't know Zelensky was involved. They don't know Ukraine was involved. They don't understand the content that was being discussed in that phone call. I have read multiple times the entire transcript of the phone call. It's actually not that long. You should Google it. You should read it yourself because it's still relevant on February 28th at 12:40 p.m. right now in 2025. What did Zelensky want in that phone call? Protection from the United States. What did Donald Trump want in that phone call? Cooperation on an existing investigation that was taking place about corruption that existed from some members of the United States system, political system. It was already being investigated. And who did it involve? Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and the Biden family business. It was under investigation before the impeachment even started. Just go look at Chuck Grassley, the senator from, what, Iowa? This was all in motion. There was an actual investigation taking place. And I'm pretty sure at that time they had the laptop. They knew about the laptop. They had a copy of the laptop. They knew what the Biden family was doing in and through Ukraine. You remember the term Burisma? Some sort of energy company that Hunter Biden, that whiz kid of a child, was somehow or another a member of a board making tens of thousands of dollars every month with no practical skills to apply to that situation. Why was Hunter Biden involved? These are questions that you ask in an investigation that was taking place in Ukraine. And Trump said, we're going to protect you, but we need your cooperation. We're trying to investigate some things here, and we would really, really, really like your full cooperation so we can get to the bottom of it. What does Adam Schiff say? Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. This isn't about anything that has to do with anything other than Donald Trump is really afraid of Joe Biden beating him in the presidential election. Joe Biden not only didn't have the nomination for the Democratic Party at that time, he was DOA. This was before, this all started before that one day when Kamala Harris and Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar are like, you know what we should do here for America? We should step aside for Joe Biden. And everyone's like, I don't even know if Joe Biden's awake. Joe Biden told me to listen to my record player last night, and he just called her racist, and he told the people south of the border to come. That's the guy? That's really the one you want? How about the Democratic Party with a whole stage full of people who come from diverse backgrounds? Who's the oldest, whitest fart on the stage? It might have been Bernie Sanders. Maybe they picked wrong. But he's a socialist, so I don't know. Maybe they weren't ready for it. They go rally behind the oldest, whitest dude they can find in the Republican Party who's mentally slipping already. Why? It doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense unless there was something that had to be protected. And the only way that they could throw the impeachment thing at Donald Trump in that moment was if Joe Biden was the nominee. He wasn't the nominee at the beginning of this whole process, and they turned him into the nominee, and they protected him all the way until June of last year. July of last year. They threw him to the wolves. He was no longer useful to them. Why is it that Ukraine, at this point in time, when they can end a war, would not be, oh my Lord, have mercy, thank you, Jesus, or whomever it is that they worship over there. Thank you for the United States. Please save our people. Please protect our land. Please help us. We're so grateful for the billions of dollars that you've sent over here to defend ourselves, but we can't do it anymore. We can't lose another life. We can't afford the loss of land and treasure and life that is going to continue on if we do not take your help. Why would you go into the Oval Office and give the President of the United States the middle finger? Why are these people so afraid of Donald Trump? All of that to say, I have the same question. Why are they afraid of Donald Trump? What was Donald Trump going to gain access to for the benefit of the America First United States that he now leads as the President of the United States? How is the system going to overturn? Who's afraid? How deep does it go? If I had some facts to say, well, that's crazy, Annie, then I would, I don't need to be that person. I don't need to, I'm not here to, you listen to this show from time to time. I'm not a conspiracy theorist in that I always see the shiny thing and I run after it because it's super interesting. That's Ryan's job.
Thank you.
I want to be calm. I want to be collected. But none of this makes sense outside of massive corruption that has existed for such a long time that the tentacles are so far in that even peace is a frightening thing for the people of Ukraine. I have questions. I have no answers. That's how conspiracies get started. Any thoughts? We got to go to break.
I would like to invite people to join today's chat.
Why?
Because Doug says, oh, Lord, today's chat is bonkers.
All right, Doug.
And I'm following, I'm watching what's coming in. And yeah, people are riled up. And both sides of the aisle in the chat today. So thanks for being a part of the conversation. Go ahead and join it.
It's nothing like watching Trump and Vance take Zelensky just hard to the truth. Let him give him the what for. And then we book Jim Carafano, and then we come in with Usher. It's like, you get this on the Annie Fry Show. I don't really know, even if we intended to do that, if we could have pulled that. What a semblance of entertainment and information in one place. We're grateful for you. We will continue to watch a lot of the reaction, because this is all happening, you know, live, and we're watching it as it comes in, the president's statement. There are things that could be different by the end of this show, let alone the end of this day, and we will have it for you right here on 97.1 FM Talk and the Annie Fry Show. And of course, Be or Not the Bee next. I would almost look at this entire last hour and go, the bee?
I know.
No, not the bee. Well, the bee or not the bee next. We'll be right back.
The Bee or Not the Bee.
Hooray! I love this segment.
These are stories that are either satire from the Babylon Bee or they're real. I'll read the headline. Tell me which is which. First one, Trump to sign new executive order making English the official language of the United States.
Real.
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 Figured I'd start with an easy one. That one is real.
That was almost the poll question for today.
Oh, yeah?
Do you support it?
Yes, he is doing this. Did you know in America's 250-year history, we've never had an official language? We didn't know that, but Trump's about to fix that. Trump is reportedly getting ready to sign an executive order requiring English to be recognized at the federal level as America's official language. There you go. There's the first one. Number two.
Are you happy about it?
It needed to be done a long time ago. I remember it might have been during George W. Bush that this issue came up and nothing got done.
I like that we are a melting pot of sorts. I think that that is one of America's strengths. I think that having an official language doesn't mean that you can't speak your own natural language. What would you say? Native language. If you come here and you're from Germany, then and you want to speak German, it's not like you're not allowed to speak that language. If you come here from Mexico or from one of the Central America, South America countries, you can still speak your natural language. But you need, in order for a society to function, go back to the Tower of Babel. We need to be able to communicate with one another. So English. And then whatever else you want, or whatever you else you want, and you need to be able to donde está el baño.
The main reason that this exists is for official documents. I mean, it already kind of just by default has existed that way. But now, if you need an excuse, you can say, "Look, there's an EO about this."
Emily Campagno on Outnumbered, I think it was her, said that as much as there might be some political fodder behind this, and the left is just going to lose their minds over it, it might actually be a cost savings thing. About how many things we need to print or produce just in one language right now.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought there's an interesting angle to it.
Number two, Trump fired after forgetting to reply to Elon's email.
B?
It is the B. He did not actually get fired from the presidency.
But did he reply?
Thank God.
It says, President Trump, though disappointed, understood the decision. Quote, we had a great run. He said to reporters as he left the White House.
Oh, you got me.
He says, quote, I thought for sure I had sent the email, but I apparently left it open on my phone without hitting send. Do you believe it? A killer. What a killer.
Dang it, Tom.
My son distracted me with a meme, unfortunately. It was a meme. Pretty good one. Not great.
Was it one of Elon's memes?
He doesn't say. I'm reading the quote here. It said, and now we're fired. How do you like that? Sad.
Sad.
Babylon Bee. That did not actually happen, ladies and gentlemen, in case you're tuning in just after I read the headline.
Yet.
Next one. Caravan of liberal Americans makes way towards socialist paradise of Venezuela.
I wish it was real.
Real.
Bee.
Bee.
Hit it.
It is the bee. Quote, everyone there has the same quantity of possessions and food, said one marcher. Everyone makes millions of dollars, and very few people work. It's a real paradise.
Idiots.
The refugees...
Even these fictitious people make me mad.
The refugees have complex motivations, but the vast majority simply want to see everything socialism has to offer after suffering the amazing benefits of capitalism for too long. All right. No comments. I will move on.
Chatty crowd today.
Yeah. Everybody's reading the comments, the chat comments.
I'm reading people reacting on X to our live stream there of the exchange. These people.
Next one. Donald Trump to be put on $250 bill.
It's the B.
I'm going to go real.
We got one B, one real. Break the tie.
B.
This is real.
Really?
Oh,
now, hang on. Before you get too excited, though, if approved, because it's just a bill to put this through, if approved, the proposal to put Donald Trump on a new $250 bill.
He should have like a $47 bill or something.
That's good. Would be a historic first, making him the only living current or former president to be featured on U.S. currency. Under the legislation proposed by South Carolina Congressman Joe Wilson, the Bureau of Engraving and Printing would be directed to design a $250 bill with President Trump's face on it.
This is so dumb.
It's for the 250th anniversary of the United States of America, mm-hmm. according to Kate on YouTube. Thank you for that anecdote. Is Andrew Jackson going to get bounced from the 20? I mean, weren't we supposed to put Rosa Parks or somebody, Harriet Tubman or somebody?
Yeah, it was Harriet Tubman.
Harriet Tubman.
Oh, I thought that was just a...
Like a commemorative thing?
Yeah, commemorative short term.
Did it? Oh, it happened though?
No, I don't know. Oh, I did. Okay. I remember
I've
hearing
never
that.
Never seen
though.
One.
Yeah, I haven't either. Republicans clarify that deficit spending only a problem when Democrats do it.
No, that's the B.
That's the B.
But, well, yeah, they just did pass that vote.
Mm-hmm. That is the B, but also Mike Johnson speaking here in the fake article says, quote, we know you all don't like deficit spending, but this is totally different. This is Republican deficit spending. You see, it's different because Republicans are doing it, which is good.
Isn't that, like, haven't we been pounding our fists on the table for years?
Yes.
About this issue?
And we'll continue. We hope this helps clear up all the confusion. Experts who fact-checked the speaker's claim have admitted that his logic is unassailable.
One more.
Ooh, I'm glad we got this one in, too. Chicago mayor drops to historic 6% approval rating.
Ooh, I heard 7%, so I know that it's close. I haven't heard 6%, but I'm really hoping it's true. Real.
I think this one's real.
This is real.
Loser!
Yeah. 6%?
6%.
Oh my. Who are those God. People? Like M3. His family?
Well, it's his cabinet.
It can't get like, much
that
lower.
That is amazing.
And he's still like, not low enough.
No.
M3 Strategies with Politico just released a survey where only, I guess if you round up, it's 6.6 of Chicago that residents helps. That had anything nice to say about Johnson. Meanwhile, and it's not like, oh, the rest of them spread out over slightly favorable. No. 80% gave him an unfavorable rating. 12% neutral. Basically, I don't know.
Bodes well for the Illinois midterm, which has an election for governor. Who's it going to be? J.B. Pritzker, is he going to run again? I don't know. But we need some options in Chicago. What a problem they're having right now. Make Chicago great. Again? Probably?
Yeah, yeah. It's been great.
It's been great. Make it great again. Not in the sports, though. That can continue to suck.
Amen.
All right. Ask us anything in the next hour. Don't go away.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.